This podcast is designed to help you understand the laws of our land. I am your host, Hattie Savari, and here to help you every step of the way, whether you are a tenant, landlord, parent, child, employee, employer, neighbour or business owner, and we are all most certainly consumers. The law is in your life every single day with over 180 episodes and 5 million downloads. Get ready to listen and empower yourself with tons of jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com. Hello and welcome to our podcast at Get Legally Speaking. Our legal conversation today will be on noisy neighbours. I am joined by Senior Barrister Barbara Zeitler from Lamb Chambers in London. Barbara specialises in property law and she has a substantial landlord and tenant and housing practice, representing both landlords and tenants. She is a formidable barrister in court who has a reputation for fast and effective production of work, and she is known for her approachable and practical manner. Barbara is also an experienced and accredited mediator who can assist clients as a mediation advocate. Barbara, thank you very much for joining me.
Hello, it is a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. So, noisy neighbours. Now, I think I have to say, when you get to my age, and I'm feeling old today, which is why I'm probably saying that, you have at some point experienced a noisy neighbour at some point in life. So I think it's a really great area for us to be discussing because lots of people perhaps have these issues with noisy neighbours, don't know how to deal with them. The quick thing that can happen is that you fall out with your neighbours, which is never a good thing. So let's start by mentioning what do we mean by noisy neighbours in the sense that the different types of noise that can bother people. And what's meant by the term noise pollution that I've heard creep up here and there?
Well, you're very right. It's a very widespread problem, and we've probably all been affected by it in some form or other. Well, what we're talking about is noise from amplified music, parties, a TV that's too loud, or maybe DIY noise. So there's a whole range of types of noise pollution. And what we mean by noise pollution is probably best described as excessive or unwanted noise, and something that has a harmful effect on other human beings or perhaps the environment more generally. And we all know how stressful noise can be. It can cause all sorts of health problems, be they physical or mental health problems. And of course, one very common consequence of noise is that people don't sleep properly. And then
yes.
Stressed, and then the next day they're not very effective at work.
Yes, yes.
It is a very common and widespread problem.
I mean, and in that we can include dogs barking, you know, loud noises from animals or pubs and nightclubs which might be at close proximity to your home and where you're living. I mean, this is all part of, you know, a noisy environment that's perhaps happening during unsociable hours, and we'll talk about what we mean by unsociable hours in a moment, and that's considered sort of noise pollution, really, isn't it, Barbara?
Absolutely. And you know, to that list we can add, for example, alarms going off or fireworks. But fireworks is quite a good example to illustrate that when something is unacceptable or acceptable noise very much depends on the context in which noise occurs. So fireworks at the stroke of midnight on the 1st of January of the year is probably an acceptable type of noise. But if somebody lets off fireworks perhaps sometime in April when there's no particular festival and it's at 3 o'clock in the morning,
yes,
constitute a noise nuisance.
Yes, yes. No, I get it. Okay, so let's start with what people have been asking us to discuss today. So that I hear loud noises from my neighbours after hours. Do I have to put up with hearing it? And what times of the day are you allowed to make noise? So let's talk about that.
Well, I've already mentioned that it's very often a question of degree and a question of context. There is quite a lot of noise that the law expects you to put up with. So you can't, for example, complain about your, imagine you live in a block of flats. You hear your neighbours flushing their lavatories or closing their cupboards. That's known as the noise of everyday living that's walking about.
And that's due to the build of the property, surely. So if you hear somebody's washing machine or going off or dishwasher or, as you say, the lavatory is flushing, then that's the quality of the build of the building. Obviously, the walls are very thin. It's not of a thick, proper quality.
Very, very, you're right. I mean, very, very often it is an issue which relates to noise insulation. But even in comparatively well-insulated buildings, you are bound to hear your neighbours in some form or other. And the law expects neighbours to put up with the noise of everyday living. So, for example, if your neighbour uses a blender to prepare food at about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, that is very much the noise of everyday living. However, and I've already said it's very much a question of context. If your neighbour has a habit of switching on the blender at about 4 o'clock in the morning, it may no longer be the noise of everyday living. So that's a sort of noise that you don't expect to hear at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So, I mean, councils generally investigate noise complaints between 11 p.m. and 7 a.m. I always thought that after sort of, I had this sort of thought that after 6 p.m. or 8 p.m. people couldn't be loud next door. But obviously, I'm wrong here. 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. 11's quite late at night, really, isn't it?
Well, but again, it's very much a balancing act between what you want to do and what your neighbours are allowed to do. And sometimes, I mean, some people might find, for example, DIY noise at 9 p.m. a bit bothersome. But perhaps if then the council's noise team come round, because you've called the council's noise team. And what the noise team tend to do, they sort of evaluate, they witness the noise, but it may well say that they turn around to you and say, well, actually 9 o'clock is probably still okay, because these people may work during the day and then they only have the evening to deal with DIY. However, if the DIY noise occurs about 11 o'clock at night or 11:30 at night, the line has been crossed. So generally speaking, 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. is essentially when.
But I have to say, Barbara, if my neighbours were making noise at 8 or 9 p.m., I have to say I'd be really upset because I've got young children who are in bed. And I did witness it for a few months in another property that we were living when my eldest was young. And it was exactly that, actually, what you've explained, where the neighbours worked during the day. So the husband, who was a builder, would come home, and then for 3 or 4 hours in the evening, he'd be bashing away on the walls. And I wasn't happy at all because my children kept jumping, he kept jumping and waking up. And it was just not acceptable to me.
And it was obviously a very difficult situation for you. Well, I think in that kind of scenario, probably the best initial solution is to actually have a word with your neighbour. Now, obviously, sometimes you have neighbours you don't want to speak to, but I think generally speaking, it's always a good idea to try and have a word with your neighbour, because sometimes your neighbours may not be aware that they're actually making noise that crosses the line.
And that's very true. I mean, one of the most common complaints I've heard over the years from sorts of friends and foes is that the neighbours' children have grown up, they're now teenagers, They put the music on, turn the volume up, and there they are, blasting away. And, you know, parents can, maybe they're home, maybe they're not home, maybe they can't hear it as much from the lower ground floor or the upper floors. I mean, and what do you do if you're constantly hearing either dogs barking or music being played loud? And you know, I mean, I think 11 o'clock p.m. is quite late to be tolerating that sort of, you know, disturbing noise. But I think you're absolutely right. In the first instance, try to speak to your neighbour and say, look, in the best way you can, because it can get contentious quite quickly. People can get upset quite quickly. And just say, look, I'm really sorry, but, you know, this is the situation. What can we do about it?
I mean, dialogue is always a very good way of starting off dealing with a problem. But obviously, sometimes dialogue does not work. And there may be situations when you actually do have to involve your local council. So what, for example, you could do if you're bothered by noise that you think crosses the line, you need to get in touch with the environmental protection team of your local authority. I've already mentioned them, and then they come round and witness the noise. Now, another way of dealing with it, if it's persistent noise that troubles you, it's very important that you get some evidence together. So it's what you should keep is a noise log. You record the time when the noise occurred, how loud the noise was. You might, for example, say something, well, the music from the property coming next door was so loud I couldn't have a normal conversation.
I mean, people whip out their phones. I was just going to say, you know, we get out our phones to take pictures and record things quite often these days. It's quite a common thing. And I think, you know, if you can record it on your phone, that would be very helpful. And like you say, keep a record of the times, the dates, if you are speaking with your neighbours and trying to resolve it directly, which is obviously the best way, but they're just not interested in reducing the noise, then start keeping a record. And I think it's really important to say that if your neighbour is breaking the law by being violent or harassing you, then absolutely call the police and report it, because, you know, that can't be and shouldn't be tolerated at all. But the first place you go is to your local council. You can Google your local council and you can find the noise department. And that's where you should start off at, Barbara, we're saying.
And also another, I mean, again, it depends slightly on the circumstance. But if we're talking about, say, persistent playing of music from your neighbours, it is also a very good idea to get in touch with the antisocial behaviour unit of your local authority. But of course, when you get in touch with your antisocial behaviour unit of the local authority, you need to have some evidence, which is why I talked about keeping a noise log, giving as much information as you can. And what I think is also quite important is to perhaps try and investigate whether the person next door to you is a tenant of the local authority or a housing association, or is a tenant of a private landlord. And one good starting point would actually be to get in touch with the landlord of that person, because they are, the vast majority of cases, the tenancy agreement contains a requirement not to cause nuisance to other people. So the landlord will then get in touch with its or his or her tenant and then sort of raise the noise issue. But one thing that has to be said is that dealing with noise very rarely has quick solutions. It often is a long, drawn-out process, and one has to be, unfortunately, quite patient. But that's why, as I said earlier, it's very important to have as much evidence, be it by way of recordings or by way of noise logs.
Yes, and I think you've just raised a really good point there, Barbara, because what we're saying is, yes, in the first instance, knock on the door, or whoever's the calmest in your property about, you know, about the situation, because it can be very upsetting and very agitating, particularly as you mentioned earlier, if you're not sleeping at night because of this noise. You wake up and you've had interrupted sleep, and sleep deprivation, let's make no bones about it, is used as a form of torture in some countries. You know, it's a very, very, very bad thing. And try to obviously resolve it directly with the neighbour yourselves. Failing that, if the people, the person making the noise, making the nuisance, is a tenant, then their landlord actually has a duty to you as their landlord, as the landlord and owner of that property. Am I right in saying that, Barbara?
Well, it is more the landlord of that tenant insisting on the fact that the tenant keeps to the terms of the tenancy agreement. So it is more between the
landlord and the tenant.
And the tenant. However, if we think about local authorities, where, for example, noise affects neighbourhoods, where it sort of affects what's known as the housing related duties of the functions of the local authority. The local authority can, for example, apply for an antisocial behaviour injunction against that neighbour who is persistently causing noise. So the local authority has quite a range of steps it can take to address
and to help you. So the local authority will probably at the first instance say, right, the noise must stop, or it must be through certain limited hours, and they're likely to serve a notice on the person making the noise if it's confirmed that the noise is during antisocial hours and it shouldn't be going on. And I think it's measured in decibels, and I'm not even going to go into how those decibels are worked out, because that's a question that a lot of people ask. How is the noise measured? Because clearly, I mean, I walk into my living room and I have to tell my family to turn the TV down because it's too loud for me. But for them, it's a normal level of noise. So it is measured in some form. But let's talk about an abatement notice and what that means, Barbara.
I mean, abatement notice is a particular measure that a local authority can, or a step, I should say, that a local authority can impose on a noisy person under the Environmental Protection Act 1990. And so one, the Environmental Protection Act gives local authorities, but I should also say individuals, a way of addressing noise. So what you can do if you're affected by noise, you report it to your environmental health team, and as I mentioned earlier, they come and assess the noise, and if they find that it is, in legal terms, a statutory nuisance, so if it is something which really interferes with your comfort, or that may also be something that affects your health, they can then serve an abatement notice on the neighbour. And sometimes they might simply just require the neighbour to stop the noise before they take that formal step. But if, say, once an abatement notice has been served, and if the abatement notice is breached, that can have quite serious consequences, because breaching an abatement notice is a criminal offence. I've also mentioned that, talking about the Environmental Protection Act 1990, it's usually the local authority that takes steps, but there is also a route under the Environmental Protection Act 1990 for individuals to serve a notice on the neighbour requiring that person to abate, to stop that nuisance, and if necessary, then take his or her own legal steps. But I should say immediately that's quite a complicated
process.
Usually much better to have involved.
I think what we have to do is we definitely have to do a part two to this podcast to discuss those steps, that if somebody really has no choice but to go down the legal route, and the court and the legal routes should be really the last, absolute last resorts in with these kinds of issues, how somebody would go about doing that. I think that would be make a very interesting podcast for people that do have had enough. They're not perhaps getting the help they want from the council, particularly during the fact that we have a pandemic and there's limited members of staff in council buildings and limited resources that are being provided perhaps in some councils. And I think that would be very, very interesting. I mean, we just have time to discuss one more area, and I do want to touch on this because I do think it's very important, Barbara. So we've spoken about, you know, if your neighbour making the nuisance and making the noise is a tenant, how the landlord has to really look at resolving this issue, which is between themselves and their tenant, going by the tenancy contract, which would more than likely state, and a short hold tenancy would state that, I would say that they cannot be a nuisance as tenants in the property. So the landlord can obviously try to assist this situation that way before you perhaps even go to the council. So you've knocked on the door, they've not done anything about it. Then you can go to the landlord if they are a tenant, of course. Failing that, you can go to the council. Obviously, if they own the property, then it's straight to the council if the neighbour next door doesn't want to do anything about it. But what if your nuisance neighbour is a vulnerable person? What if they have, for example, mental health problems or issues, and that's one of the reasons why the noise during unsociable hours is happening? What can you do then?
You touched on a very important area in that actually very often, many cases, noise is caused because perhaps there are some mental health issues. Now, mental health issues by themselves don't sort of justify making noise. For example, a local authority can take possession proceedings against a noisy tenant, even though that person has got mental health issues. But what is very important to bear in mind is the local authority, or indeed a housing association manager, usually has got some sort of extra duties to that a person, and must accommodate and deal with these vulnerabilities. And there are, I would say, probably sort of similar duties on private landlords. I mean, one has to proceed very carefully in these cases, but the bottom line is that just because you have mental health problems, that doesn't mean that your neighbours have to continue to suffer from noise uses. It may just be a more elaborate and a longer process to reach a resolution to that problem.
Yes, and that's very, very helpful, and something that I certainly wasn't, you know, aware of. And you know, perhaps... And talking about the duties that the council has to have, or the carers or the caring unit has to have to this person who may have mental health issues, perhaps they'll come in and do something, and I say it simply, but some soundproofing of some sort, maybe on the party wall, where that will assist and things like that. But no, I think that's a very, very interesting point to have touched on, and I appreciate that we've touched on it. But that's all we've got time for, Barbara. And I think that this has been a great introduction to this area of law and you know, to this side of life, where it is a common problem for many people, actually. So thank you ever so much for joining me today.
It's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you.
And I do look forward to our part two, because there are lots of questions that we can look into answering, least of course, that I mentioned being... if you do have to take things down a legal route, then what would you do? So thank you ever so much. And what I will say to our listeners is, don't forget to click and subscribe to our podcasts. And you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn and YouTube by searching Get Legally Speaking. Also visit our website at getlegallyspeaking.com. Thank you for listening.